Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
Tonight we have my beautiful wife Brianna with us. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
And of course Adam, me, and we've got Nola and Ed Brooke with us. How are you going, guys?
Hi.
Yeah, we're going really well, thank you.
It's awesome to have you on, isn't it, honey?
Absolutely.
So good, so good. Well, could you tell us a little bit about yourselves? Maybe you can start, Nola.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm married to Ed. Spoiler alert, everyone. Yeah.
She's taking everyone.
And yeah, we've been married 61 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
I, of course, was a child bride.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
No, I was 20.
You were young.
That's still young. That's very great. Useful.
Yeah. You have to get them young and train them.
Yeah. We do. We have three adult children, and yeah, a boy and Matthew, Tiffany and Alison, and we just have had a wonderful family life.
Yeah, lovely. So. Awesome. What about you, Ed? Sorry.
What about you, Ed?
Tell us a little bit. I am married to Nola. Yep. You know the rest of that story.
61 years, everyone.
Yeah. Just quickly, that no one would know this. My parents divorced when I was 13 months old.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Mm. Had a sister about a month after that. Mm. And I finished up living at home with my grandmother, my mother, mm-hmm. and my sister.
There you go.
My uncle, who was Mum's elder brother, he had nine altogether, and we finished up, he became my surrogate father.
Oh, how lovely.
He taught me everything that I know.
Yeah.
Taught me to use every tool there ever was. But anyway, that was early days. No one in our family was Christian. Mm-hmm. So we had a very good life together. I lived for my mother. One uncle was a baker, had a horse and cart. I used to train the horses for him.
Oh, cool.
And that was quite a good thing. And as we were growing up, we were taught, good manners and etiquette, if you like. And we knew everyone in the street.
Yeah.
There were six guys. We all played tennis together in the younger days.
Oh, cool.
And we got to know all the old ladies.
Yeah.
And we were taught to call them by name, not by their Christian names. And that has stuck with me all of my life.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That level of respect. And what sounds like what a beautiful community you grew up in
as well.
It was
a great street. And those ladies, we did all their gardens in a big way. And they would make us big apple pies and desserts and everything else. And the only
as a reward.
Yeah, the only proviso was that we cleaned up the kitchen after we left. Before we left.
Oh, that's good.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. If you're getting a free dessert, you could clean up.
So I went to Sunday school till I was 15, Seb's, and then after that I had nothing to do with the church until I met Nola.
Interesting.
Okay, there you go.
We might loop back around to that story.
That's my life till I was 20.
Amazing. And what kind of horses did they have?
Two horses. One was Peggy, one was Knight. Knight, Whitey, and they were just ordinary horses. Yep. And they pulled the baker's cart.
Amazing.
And also he pulled the buggy. We used to go home in the buggy at night with two lamps on the side.
Cool.
Well, I think Ed's jumped ahead there because our next question is, what is something that people might not know about you? Uh-huh. So we might jump to Nola and see, what is something that people might not know about you, Nola?
Well, I grew up. My grandmother was just the most beautiful Christian. And I really grew up in the life of the church, excepting that my parents, this was right after the war. So my parents worked hard and didn't go to church, but they made sure that my sister and I went to church.
Yeah.
We did Sunday school and went right through to confirmation in the Anglican Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
nice.
Amazing.
That's really cool.
What does confirmation look like in the Anglican Church? What does that mean?
Well, it's a confirmation of your faith, in God.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was quite a wonderful time for me.
Mm.
I was about 14, I think. Yeah, but I had, when I was 7, I can remember my Sunday school teacher talking to us about hell. And I signed a little card to say that I would be a Christian. So that's really quite amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And to remember that, the significance of that.
I can
even
remember
from that moment.
Miss Bell was her name.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Miss Bell, cool. Yeah.
Excellent. And Ed, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hurstall.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I was confirmed at the St. Andrew's Cronulla.
Mm-hmm.
Started going to church there. When I met Nola, I was 20, just over 21.
Yep.
Yeah, just turned 21.
Fantastic.
I was confirmed there and then we joined the Youth People Fellowship.
Lovely.
Oh,
and
awesome.
And your sister, have you stayed in touch with your sister?
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Amazing.
Okay, so we're going to change tact from those kind of questions and just going to go down this route. Is there any particular book, movie or series that has influenced you in your Christian walk?
The main one, well, not to start me, but it certainly picked me up, was a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yes, we've heard of him before.
Mm.
He was a great evangelist. That was the name of the book, Bonhoeffer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Bonhoeffer the book.
Bonhoeffer the book.
It was his life story.
It was his life story.
Oh, okay.
How he grew up in Germany.
Yep.
And got involved with the underground and hated the government, hated Hitler.
Mm.
And his life was dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah, wow. And so that encouraged you?
Well, that
and
you,
what,
gives you a real
yep.
real lift in your Christian life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if he's come through all that kind of stuff.
You can imagine the trials and tribulations he'd gone through.
Well, he went through a lot. He was executed by the Germans in 1945.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So was that written by someone else but about his life?
He was writing his story while he was in jail virtually.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was finished off by
somebody else. After he'd passed. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Wow, that sounds powerful.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. What about you, Nola?
Yeah, well, so many books we've read over the years. It's just amazing. But just recently I've just finished reading Sensible Shoes, whether you've heard of that. It's there are 4 books.
Okay.
And, yeah, the books are about 4 women and their walk through their life. It's been really quite good. We've really enjoyed it.
Oh, awesome.
And do they know each other? Or is it a bit like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movie where it's different people's lives but there's certain things that just seem to cross over at some point?
Yeah. Well, it's a spiritual journey that these girls are on.
Yeah.
There's a pastor, an associate pastor who has burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another girl who, they're really, the 4 of them just need a touch of the Lord. So.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Need a restoration and a refill.
Yeah.
We've all been there at some point, right?
Definitely, right?
Maybe a few times sometimes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Could you share with us a little bit of how or when you became a Christian?
Thank you very much. Well, as I said, we became involved with the fellowship, Youth Fellowship of Cronulla.
Yep, yep.
And we still have a lifelong association with several people there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Passed away.
Yeah.
And we used to go to small churches along the Hawkesbury River, down a waterfall, Heathcote. Mm-hmm. We would take the service. And then I was pushed along with Nola. So I had no previous association with the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was confirmed.
Yeah.
And we went to the Billy Graham Crusade.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
That was in 1959.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah. What were some things that you remember, like, about the energy and the – was it amazing?
It was amazing.
Yes. Well, I can just tell you one thing.
Yes.
Nola went forward first. I was about to go.
Yes.
And the guy sitting two away from me is an old lady, beautiful old lady sitting next to me. He was on the right. He stood up the same time as I did. He put his hand in his jacket and pulled a dirty big gun out.
Really?
And he put it in her lap.
Oh, and said, wow.
Can you look after this for me? I won't want it anymore.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, wow.
So we walked down together, never saw him again, never saw her again or the gun again.
Oh, life-changing.
Oh, that's amazing.
My heart just pounded
when
this old lady, she had her eyes like fried eggs with this big gun. Yeah.
Look after my gun. It's yours now. I don't need it. Amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, God can change people's lives, hey, radically.
So that was virtually the beginning of my Christian walk.
Well, what a great start.
Yeah. What a great start, definitely.
Probably I should tell you just how we met.
Yes.
Would that be helpful?
We would love to hear how you met. Wouldn't.
I think so. Now even more so.
Well, Ed's quite a poet, and he wrote a poem.
Uh huh.
And it goes like this.
Some of the books. I like history.
Yeah.
Right? Australian history, and I got two books that I'd read: Banjo Paterson and Henry Lawson.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, so that's where the poem thing
came from. Yes. Yeah. Right. I see.
Anyway. And this is the poem, and there are quite a few verses, but I won't bore you with all those, just
you've got
a couple.
The poem.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so one day as I sat in a boat on the water, I saw Mr. Murray's attractive young daughter. And as I sat there just idly fishing, to meet her just once was what I was wishing.
Oh.
One day they came back from a short boating trip, and the tide was so low, I thought she might slip. So I ran down the pier and held out my hand, and with one gentle heave, she was safe on dry land.
Oh,
how beautiful is that?
And then it goes on, but yes.
Try and ride that chat, GPT.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that.
Oh, and so nice one, mate.
That was how you met.
That's how, yes, I was.
So was that the story of how you met? Or was,
yes, that really is.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then you wrote something afterwards? That was it.
Of the meeting.
Yeah, right, I see. Wow.
I love that. Well, a little spoiler alert for you guys. Adam, too, is a bit of a poet and wooed me with his lovely poetic lyrics when we were courting as well. Mm, so
interesting that we have a similar background to that. I've been into Christian hip hop for a long time, and that's kind of where. Before that, I was into regular hip hop, I guess, and so I like the rhymes and the beats that come with it. So I think,
it's poetry. Yeah, it's poetry.
It's more of a. I guess it's just a modern take on poetry, really. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, so that's wonderful.
And so that was your first meeting. 61 years later, here you are.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It took us 4 years to get married.
Yeah. Because I was just 16.
Yes.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. So when I was 20, we got married. Yes.
So you courted for 4 years?
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, lovely.
When she was 18, we were engaged.
Cool.
We had a joint bank account at that time.
Yeah.
All of my money, all the overtime that I worked.
Yeah. And you saved up for the wedding.
And saved up for more than the wedding.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys.
When we first courted, Ed was – a real sports person. He did exceptionally well in sports.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And he, especially in tennis,
mm-hmm.
and he, as a young boy, he'd take the tennis racket up against the school wall, and he'd hit that ball to there and there was no fur on it. And yes, and
many
so
times.
He did become, but we used to go, I would go to tennis with him, but we didn't have a car.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He would, yes, double me on his bush bike. And that was,
there you
that
go.
Was an interesting.
Isn't that a lovely way to start? I love that.
Up and down the hills of Connell's Point.
Having adventures.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Tennis. So, and that, of course, stemmed from your younger days playing tennis with your mates from your local community. And
well, yeah, the six guys we had at Orange Street, we played all ball sports together, played table tennis together.
Oh, table. You'd be a gun at that, being a tennis player.
It helped.
He was actually St. George District.
There you go.
Really?
One stage, yeah.
Funnily, my mum shocked us the other month when I went to New Zealand because she lives here, but I went over with her and my cousin has a table tennis table set up in his garage. My mum and my auntie played table tennis when they were younger. They never told us this and they're both incredibly good at it and they were state champions and I'm like, how have you never told me? I'm 40 now. So it was, yeah, it was quite incredible to see. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah,
well done, guys.
They didn't want to embarrass
me. No, they would have swept the floor with me probably.
What other sports were you into?
Squash.
Squash, yep.
And I've been called a fanatic at fishing.
Yes.
Okay. We always lived near the water.
Yeah.
And our three kids had junior boat licenses when they were 12.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
They all learnt to water ski and swim very well. Tiffany was almost state quality in swimming.
Oh, cool.
And Matthew was a scuba diving instructor when he was 16.
Beautiful.
Oh, awesome.
It's lovely being out on the water amongst God's creation,
so
isn't
good.
It?
Mm. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. What about you, Nola? Any hidden sporting talents?
Not really. I don't know that I'm as athletic as what Ed's been, but I did really enjoy hockey.
Oh, I used to play hockey.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
And I played after school and, yes, continued till I was about 17 or something.
Yeah, cool.
Fun.
And then we were playing tennis in later life and she was trying to emulate Maria Sharapova, so she didn't go so well.
Oh, at least you tried.
Yeah. She tried too hard. She broke her arm two times.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that's when I decided it was time
maybe
to
not
give it up.
Yeah, that's enough.
But I enjoyed tennis very much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those great games you know, playing as a couple. You can play,
it is,
you know,
yeah.
A team. I'm not really sure what that's called. Is it called doubles?
Doubles. Yes.
Yeah, doubles, yeah.
Doubles.
Fun. So you've shared a little bit about when you became Christians. Could you share a little bit about, you know, what that sort of has looked like over your lives?
Well, I think discipleship would have to be the forbearing word. Because everything that we did and have done in the last 60-odd years have been involved in discipleship.
Wonderful.
With EE. Life Works, Growth Works.
Are they all different organisations?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, I think probably just to share a little bit about how I came to Christ. We were really happily married. We'd built our first home in Sylvania Waters and had our son and we're just so very happy. And yet, and really, we had most things that any young couple could want for. It was in a successful business. I'd been successful in my career. Home, boat, caravan, we had it all.
Yep.
And yet, underneath, I knew that there was something more to life. And even though I was a Christian, and, I mean, I'd taught Sunday school, I'd been active. And one night we had gone to bed and Ed was asleep and I lay there and I just said, Lord, God, if you really are who you say you are, would you show me who you are? And it wasn't long after that that he did. And perhaps you can talk a bit about the meetings that we went to.
Well, where will I start?
At the beginning? I don't know. Now, wherever it needs to be started.
We're invited. I'll start a bit then. We're invited to some meetings at Mortdale Baptist Church with Ian North, who was a missionary in India, and he'd come out and we were told he was just great. You should go and listen to this guy. And we didn't want to go, to be truthful.
Well, I should start there now. Because my sister was going to the Baptist church, we were going to the Anglican church.
Yes.
And we were not going to go to the Baptist church. Mm. And Ian was preaching at the Baptist church. And he was organising a week's ministry because I was playing competition tennis on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I will go, but not on Wednesday night. And during that week, they were having... each night, Ian would give us two memory verses.
Ah, okay.
He had to memorise two verses a night for a week.
Yeah.
So anyway, Wednesday night came. We were playing tennis. We were playing a semi final, and we were leading in the match. And I was playing, and something quite dramatic happened in my life.
Oh wow!
And I walked off the court.
Yep.
Didn't say where I was going, didn't say why I was going.
Yeah.
And I went back to the church. They were all gone, down to my sister's. So down to there I went, and Ian was there, and I explained what had happened. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, the Holy Spirit had spoken to me.
On the court?
Amazing.
On the court.
On the court.
Wow.
In the middle of a match.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we talked, and Ian prayed. It must have been 3 o'clock in the morning before we finished.
Oh, my goodness.
And just to say that the following week they played another match and won the competition.
Uh-huh. So that didn't affect your didn't affect the standings.
We got beaten that night, but we won
the
premiers.
Yeah, but you won the premiers. Oh, well done. Yeah.
Amazing.
God honoured you with that, see? Mm. Awesome.
And for me, I can remember on that Sunday night, Ian was speaking at Mortdale Church, and so we went along, and I was a Christian, and he asked for people to go forward, and I thought, I'm not going forward, I'm a Christian, and I was actually hanging on to the pew.
Yeah.
And next thing I knew, I was out there.
Yeah.
And I heard God's voice say, now you finally understand.
Mm.
Go and tell others. And so about 2 weeks later, we did a Saturday morning lay institute for evangelism course. It just was a little course explaining how to use I think it was called Four Spiritual Laws, a little track.
Okay.
And then we were to go out and talk to people and use the track. And fear interpretation for me. But I went, and the very first person I spoke to invited me into her home, and I shared the gospel with this little track. And she said, yes, I want to receive that.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, wow.
And for me, that was just a confirmation of the commission that God had sent me.
Wow.
So.
Isn't that amazing?
And that's been my life.
Yeah, it's been the journey since then.
It is.
Yeah, awesome.
For both of you. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, You can feel like you're walking with God and you know him, but until you have that tangible moment where you just know and it just settles deep in you, you never look back from that. Hey?
Well, no. Just after Noel had that visitation, I went with my brother-in-law, Jeff Offord.
Yes.
And we went on a weekend away with navigators. You were familiar with the navigating?
No. As in, like, in the bush navigating? No.
No, it's something else, I think.
Navigating your way through the Bible.
Ah,
oh, yeah, okay.
And the weekend, there were dormitories and there were four double bunks, so there were eight men. And I'd done six or seven, I think, all together.
Yeah. Mm.
The first night we were there, we prayed for each other in a clockwise direction.
Mm.
The second night we prayed for each other in the anti-clockwise direction. And during the day we would walk on the beach and memorise scripture and talk and learn about our lives as we did earlier this morning.
Mm.
So that's probably how my love of memorising scripture came.
Yeah,
right. That night with Ian North,
mm.
I memorised the 8-10 verses, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an old lady before me. She memorised them as well.
Yes.
I said, I cannot compete with her. So I missed out one verse.
Oh.
And she said, don't worry, Ed, I will give you the book. I never saw the book.
But she had a bit of a head start on you in getting across those, right?
A lovely lady.
Yeah.
So I went through memory verses. Sometime, what, 10, 20 years ago, I memorised the Psalm 119, every verse.
Oh, that's a every decent verse. That's huge.
Only 176 verses.
Well done.
Sometimes he sits up in bed and I'll say, come on, tell me a few verses. And he'll go through. Yeah.
Oh, good on you. What version?
It's just amazing.
NIV.
Oh, nice, NIV. Yeah, good one. It's nice.
And I mean, for you, the power of knowing the scriptures, the verses, like what, how has that helped you when you're sharing the gospel?
Well, not so much there. I don't profess to be a theological giant. I have a faith, a simple faith, and I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
And I've lost my train of thought. I've had several major operations.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting in the anaesthetic room. I may have had pre-med. And one stage I thought, this is no good, I'm sitting here by myself. And suddenly the penny dropped and so I started memorising verses again.
Yes.
Each time, every time I'm sitting somewhere, I'm getting some verses to clear my mind.
Yes, often I see him just, he has it on the phone now, so he might be out having a cup of coffee and I come out and there he is with his Psalm 119.
Yeah. Spending time in the scripture.
Oh, that's very good.
Memorising it,
that's
mulling over.
So that's how it's really worked for me.
Yeah. Oh, well done, Ed. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
He also memorised James.
That's decent.
The five books of James.
Yeah, that's very good. Wow. Yeah.
You know my Wally Wood from the church?
Yes, we've met Wally.
Yep.
Wally's a lifelong friend of us. He used to be, cool. His wife Joy used to be, you know, prayer group with Nala and Barbara. So we're at a group of meetings and they gave us a group of verses to learn each week. Yeah. We did that. And then also Wally looked at me and said, what say we don't do the whole lot? So we did. We both learned the whole lot.
Amazing.
The whole five books of James.
Amazing. Wow, well, next time we see Wally around, we'll have to be like, hey.
Yeah, quote James, all of it. I've got quarter of an hour or however long it takes
you. We heard on good authority.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. That's so good. I mean, there is power in God's word, isn't there?
Oh, there definitely is. And I would say having them memorized means you can quote them, but you can also remember them in your mind, Sophie, in the still moments. Yeah. Like, as you say, if you're waiting to be operated on, or if you're just chilling on a park bench, you can recall them and go, oh, thanks God, and remember those things that are helpful.
Well, if you get a chance, read through Psalm 119. Every verse is a message.
Good tip.
Yeah, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Every verse is a message.
Mm.
You're listening in, people? Psalm 119?
Yeah, it's
and
a
you
banger.
Recommend NIV?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a good one. Get onto it, people. Yep.
Well, we've heard how, you know, it sounds like since you really, you know, you gave your lives to God and had that special moment, you've served him through your whole entire lives up until now. With that in mind, how are you currently serving here at Gaimere Baptist or perhaps in your local communities? Is there some way that you're serving at the moment?
Is with Hopefield Men's Hub.
Ah, yes.
The nucleus of guys, Bruce Munro, Jerry, Richard, and we have probably 14 or 15 guys.
Mm.
And we meet once a month at this stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're trying to increase it to more than that.
Yeah, cool.
A lot of these guys
don't. And is that the thing where you have a barbecue and that?
Yeah, we do. We might have a day out. About a month ago, we went on a cruise up the Port Hacking River.
Oh, great.
About a guy donated his boat.
Yep.
So we just cruised up the river for 2 or 3 hours, barbecue lunch up there and came back.
Yeah.
And some of these guys don't go to church.
Mm.
They don't come to our church.
No. Okay. But they just want to have a chat about God. It's
a fellowship thing.
Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah, it's awesome.
And if you get a chance to share with them or share with one guy.
Mm.
At last Sunday or the Sunday before, I was talking with Nola and some other women. I felt completely out of place.
Yeah.
Mm.
And there's a guy sitting in the lounge in the atrium and he was by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife said, Ed, there's a guy by himself. Go and talk to him. Mm. So here I go again.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on you.
That's great. That's
so good. Yep.
And so if there was any men listening in now and thinking, I'd be keen to know more about that or maybe get involved, like how could they get involved or who would they contact?
Bruce Munro.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Yep. Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mark.
Fantastic.
Richard Southworth.
Yep.
There's several guys. Jerry.
Excellent.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah. So if you see any of you guys around, feel free to, just tap you on the shoulder, ask some questions, find
exactly
out more.
Right.
Fantastic.
That's so good.
That's it.
What about you, Nola? Where are you serving at the moment?
Well, I'm actually in the ladies' hub.
Yes.
So Phil as well with Barbara Higgins and Colleen McDonald and I run that.
Awesome.
And yeah, so that's really good. We have every Friday morning and we'd be delighted for more people to come. We have several people from the community that are there and a few church people as well.
Yeah, cool.
There was a little brochure on the back of the toilets at Southgate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking about it, welcoming people, why not come and come to the hub? And, so we've had several people come from that and that's been really lovely.
Oh, that's cool.
Too.
Great.
Yeah, that's really great. It's just getting out into the community, isn't it? Because
you don't know
where or what people need. Yep. But if you're just reaching out, you leave it with God and God will provide and bring the right people along and connect community. Yeah, which is really special.
So has there been anyone that's been really significant in supporting you in your Christian walk, other than each other?
Yes. Well, we should really go back to that commitment that we both made. Ian North, who was the preacher, we became very good friends with Ian. Ed actually made a separate apartment in our home where Ian and Dorothy could stay when they were on furlough, and lots of other missionaries as well.
Yeah, awesome.
I guess really we've been really blessed with the godly people that we've had in our home over the years, different pastors from America, all over the world through ambassadors. So, for me, just after I had joined, we joined Mortdale Baptist Church and were baptised. And two friends and I started a neighbourhood Bible study in our home, which really grew so that three ladies had to come and mind the children.
Oh, wow.
Ed made little rolling pins, and I made Play-Doh and made morning tea. And it was a regular play group. Mothers and children just love coming. And there was opportunity over the years to share the joy of knowing Christ with people, with ladies. Several ladies came to faith over those years, and firm friendships have really, held together over all these years. So our children, our family with Matthew, Tiffany and Alison, just was such a happy time. Very special. So we moved from that particular home where Ed had built a tree house in the tree. It was fantastic. The kids could sleep. They could have birthday parties.
Bit of a carpenter,
there.
Eh?
They had there were really possums, two or three families would come in and sleep in there with them.
How amazing.
They got to know those possums, those animals.
Wow.
Went up there carefully. The possums would be snuggled up with them.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
So anyway, I was asked to attend an evangelism explosion clinic.
An evangelism explosion?
Whoa, what's that?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
What is that?
We need to bring those back.
Yeah.
So what was it?
won't believe it when you hear it.
Yeah, hang on. Maybe we don't want to bring that up.
Maybe we don't.
Yes, well, it was a clinic. It was a seven-day clinic where we learned how to share the faith.
Amazing.
Yeah, nice.
And it was amazing. And our lives were really busy. Ed was running the business. He also led Section 1 Boys Brigade.
Nice.
And he was involved in EE as well over the
Can
years.
I ask what EE is? So you mentioned that earlier.
Explosion.
What EE is, evangelism explosion.
There you go.
Yes, and we were both on the diaconate, and as our family grew older, each of them also trained in evangelism, so was exciting.
Yeah.
Our kids, they were very musical. They belonged to the
Cogra
Municipal Concert Band.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah. And what instruments did they play?
Everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Are they still musical now?
Yes, they are. Not as much as they were. Yeah.
Yeah. Just different time, different focus, but
Just one story. Evangelism explosion, there is a system that you're taught that helps you to communicate with the person in their Christian walking, if they have one, so that you don't just jump in assuming they are a Christian.
Yeah.
And presentation takes about basically half an hour.
Mm.
And the trainer then takes out two trainees. I could take you and Brianna out.
Yeah, sure.
Go and visit someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to learn this presentation before I become a trainer.
Mm.
Makes sense, because you want to be confident with that.
Yeah, but it depends on who you picked up back your trainer.
Uh-huh.
I had my wife training me.
Oh, really?
And,
well, you should have aced it then, I'm sure.
And I got a bit tongue-tied a few times and I said something stupid and forgot a few things.
Mm.
I looked around and where was the teacher? Lying on the floor laughing.
At least you could have a bit of fun with it, right?
Oh, fun.
No, just learning to share the gospel like that just gives you help in talking with people.
Mm.
I mean, the whole thing is you don't share the whole thing all the time, but you might just – somebody might be interested in faith or grace, and you can bring that to mind and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found that very helpful.
I think here at Gaimi Baptist, we run a series of similar. It's called Plan A and it's evangelism courses. Yes. Yep. So, you know, if you've been to it or you've heard about it.
I've spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's run by Belinda Lakeland.
Yeah. So if you're listening in and you're curious to maybe equip yourself with how to evangelize or share the gospel, you know, at Gaimi Baptist, we've got the Plan A course, which is fantastic.
That's right.
Yeah. Amazing. So, and Ed, what about you? Has there been someone significant along your Christian walk that, you know, really stood out to you along the way?
Yeah. After Ian was a Baptist minister. By the way,
Yeah.
His son John is also, and Nola could probably share about the two systems he had going, Life Works and Growth Works, evangelical tools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay.
Which we took overseas and around Australia. But early, we were going to Mortdale Baptist Church, and two of the elders there, Seth Boston and the other fellow, John, I can't think of his name, were terrific for me as mentors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
They were. You could talk to them at any time of the day or night.
Yeah, that's what you want in a mentor. Yep. You want them to be able to be ready for when you need them.
They were really, 100% behind me.
Yeah, great. And
having never had a father at that stage, only about 26, 27, it was marvellous for me.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. Yeah, great.
But may I just share three of really special times?
Okay, hold up. Just before you get into that, we're going to ask you the big question. So is this a place where you'd like to share a big story, do you think?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like we've got some three significant stories coming
up. This is leading people.
Yes, that sounds pretty significant to me.
Significant to me. So where have you seen Jesus at work in your life, Nola and Ed, but Nola first?
Yeah. Well, let me share three special times that really just stay with me, have stayed with me through the years. We were travelling from USA to England, and we're in the plane was really full. Mm. Each time we've been on a plane, we've asked God to, if there's any possibility that we might share his love with someone, we'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, sure.
So we're sitting here, sitting there waiting, and this seat next to me was empty.
Mm.
And waiting, and finally this girl came down the aisle, very flustered, and plopped down beside me, and I just held on to the sides of the seat, and said, "Oh, I've had such a terrible time. They lost my bags, and anyway, that was why the plane was held up." So she's sitting there, and she said, "This is my first flight. I'm so scared." And I said, "Look, just pray." And she said, I am, as we were taking off. And the plane leveled out and she looked at me and she said, "Are you born again?" And I said, "Yes, I am. Are you?" And she said, "Oh, no, but, oh, I want to be."
Oh,
wow.
So that whole time from America to England, we shared and...
Oh, and that's a decent flight as well. Yeah. Wow, good on you.
And, of course, others heard as well.
Yeah, of course. She was very vocal.
So.
Yeah, cool.
So that was one special time.
So she'd probably been praying and asking and you were like, "God, I'd like someone to share with."
That's right.
He's always at work, isn't he?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
There's no coincidences.
No.
Yeah. And probably the next one was with Penny. Now, my daughter and Penny's daughter were good friends at school.
Mm-hmm.
And one day Tiffany came home and really upset. And she said, "Mummy, Tyra's mother has her father has left and he's not coming back. And Tara was crying at school. And anyway, so I thought, oh, I should go and see Penny. And I had, it was a Tuesday morning and I was busy in the house. I wanted to do so many things and I was vacuuming and the Holy Spirit just kept reminding me about Penny. And so I left the vacuum cleaner there and I knelt down and said, Lord, if you really want me to go and see Penny, I'll go. And I felt assured that he did. So I went to Penny's home, knocked on the door. She opened the door in her pajamas with these red eyes. And we hugged and sat down and she shared. I made her a cup of tea and then we shared the gospel together. And today Penny is a warden in her church, in the Anglican church. She's a real leader. She leads Bible studies.
Oh, beautiful.
And she, yeah, and we've kept that friendship as well.
And the girls are still friends.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the next time, my special time, was our pastor had left. He had moved to another church and it came upon me to be leading the evangelism teams. And it was a Tuesday, another Tuesday night. It was Girls Brigade. I took my daughter up to Girls Brigade and waited up at the church and no one turned up.
Oh, wow.
I thought, oh, thank goodness I can go home. So I hopped in the car and started driving home and this the Holy Spirit just came upon me and I just started crying. So I pulled over and prayed and this girl's name came to mind and I said, well, Lord, if you have to, I will. I'll go. And so I turned the car around, again, knocked on the door, and she opened a door with this shocked look on her face and said to me, Nola, it's amazing. I've been asking God to help me, and here you are. And yeah, so we went in, I shared with her, we had a lovely time together. She came to know Christ that night. And as I was walking up the drive, a verse came to mind, my grace is sufficient for you. And I couldn't think of the rest of the verse. And when I got home, the house was in darkness and I opened my Bible and looked it up and it says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may might rest on me. And, yeah, so I took on that leadership. As I said earlier, we saw many people come to Christ over those years. It was a very exciting time. I also served on the national board of EE for over 20 years. And then as our involvement with Ambassadors for Christ grew, we were invited to be on team. So I resigned from the board and so began a new involvement in evangelism, arranging seminars for pastors and leaders with the new evangelism course that LifeWorks, that John North of Ambassadors.
Yeah, he's on the radio. We've heard of John North,
Yeah,
amazing. Right.
And he also wrote GrowthWorks. I guess I've spoken to hundreds of pastors over the years as We've arranged seminars. We had seminars twice yearly at Morling College for some years, and many churches took up the two courses.
Mm-hmm.
And being on the end of the other phone, it was always a joy to me to hear from many pastors as they saw people coming to Christ. And
oh, how good is that? That was
just amazing. Then in partnership with John North and Michael Frost from Morling,
mm-hmm.
for several years we began training days for pastors and lay people in evangelism at churches in Sydney and Brisbane. Over 10 years with John, evangelism seminars in Sydney, Canberra, Melbourne and Tasmania. It was always my responsibility to find a suitable venue and arrange and call pastors from all denominations and invite them to the seminars.
Amazing.
So good.
Yeah, Ed and I would arrange the food and do the hospitality.
Sometimes you've really lived a servant life.
Yeah, you really have.
You've got a heart to share the gospel and to serve those around you.
Bless
and
you
that's
guys. Oh
that's
gosh.
Really coming through.
Yeah.
Ed, what about you? Has there been, you know, I'm sure like through what Nola's already shared, it sounds like you guys have been a dynamic duo your whole lives, but is there maybe one or two times where, you know, you really saw God at work at life in your life?
I'll just share two cases. I know you visit. Here I come. We visited an elderly lady. She was probably 70-odd, if that's old. During the night, she said she'd been teaching Sunday school for 45 years. She was a school teacher. And during all of those years, she was terrified. Had been under doctor's medication because of her nerves. So I got to the stage of sharing faith with her, and a demonstration was a guy called Blondin. He used to have a tightrope over Niagara Falls, and he'd wheel a barrow over the falls,
uh-huh.
and he got the other side, and the guy said, "That's marvellous." And Blondin said to him, "Do you have any faith?" And he said, "Yeah, of course I have." He said, "I'll jump in the barrow and I'll wheel you back." And of course, the guy wouldn't do it. The lady said, "Are you trying to tell me that if I have faith like that?" And I said, "The Lord will not ask you to do anything that you cannot do, and He will always be there."
Mm.
Yeah. And she was crying, and that was a good night.
Yeah.
And the other one was not quite as good as that, but we were in America, and I had never shared outside of Australia.
Wow.
And this big fellow, I don't know how tall he was, he must have been 6'10" or something.
He was tall.
He was big.
Yep.
And were you talking to his wife?
I was, yes.
Yeah. So I was talking to him. And I shared the gospel with him. And he said, "I have never heard the gospel presented like that."
Mm.
And he said, "I think I will have to make a decision and change my life.
Mm.
Can't do it now. I will go home with my wife. But I can assure you that I will do that."
Oh, praise God. Oh,
that's awesome,
man. So that big guy just went off.
Yep.
But very quickly, our girls started St. George Christian School, the first year of high school.
Mm.
And I was on the board in charge of the building program.
Yes.
And with a lot of working bees, and saw several guys come to the Lord.
Oh,
and Nola was also involved in teaching year 10 girls evangelism.
Mm.
Oh, cool.
That was great.
Fantastic.
Oh, good one, guys.
So again, the team just worked together.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love too your heart through, like, everything you've done over your lives has been about serving others and helping equip others for the kingdom.
Yep.
Yeah. Amazing. So, I mean, these are just glimpses of moments in your life, but how have these things throughout your life, how has these things changed your life and your walk with God over the years to bring you to here right now to today?
All I can say is that I just love the Lord my God with all my heart and just want to serve him. And it's the most important thing in our lives, and we could both say that.
Mm.
I mean, we love each other, we love our family, but without God, we're nothing.
Mm. Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah, I don't think my life has changed much from the time that I became a Christian.
No.
I've tried to be honest with people.
Yeah.
And for one case, we were doing a big landscape job, many thousands of dollars, and we completed the job, and the guy rang me. I think he spoke to Nola first, and he accused me of ripping him off.
Wow.
That happens sometimes in business. You've got to deal with all sorts, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, I said, all right. So I got all the paperwork, everything. Trotted down to his office, walked in and said, what do you have on your mind? He explained what he thought of it. So I gave all the paperwork, went through it with him and got up to walk out. He said, is that all you're going to say? I said, that is all there is to say. I have done the job. There's the paperwork to prove it. And he said, all right, when can you start the next job? No quote, no nothing.
Wow.
And we worked for him for years.
There you go.
There you go.
Yep. Amazing.
That's the way to do it. Be honest, people.
Yeah.
Got to be honest.
And the same thing with Boys Brigade. We had a lot of boys. I got to the stage of helping out. Right? I was asked several times by the pastor, Fred Rudd, to help Bill Ross, who was an old fellow, a marvellous old bloke. And he said, Bill is not handling things. He only had nine boys. And the pastor said, well, can you help him? I said, well, I'll think about it. He said, all right, I'll pray about it. All right. A few months later, he said, how are you thinking about the Boys Brigade? I said, not as well as you're praying about it, probably. I finished up, I started with the Boys Brigade. And the nine boys we had, and after about 3 months, the boys said, when can we have a camp?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, when I've got 30 boys here, we can have a camp.
Oh, wow.
And lo and behold, that was a mistake.
That was a mistake, yep.
So we had 50-odd boys, 99 boys.
Wow.
But if I can just quickly share, there were several boys had problems, and they were never – if you use the achievement scheme as it was designed, those boys would always come last.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So we split the squads up in several years, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, instead of having all the 12-year-olds. And the 12-year-olds had to take control of that group.
Right.
And there were boys, one young guy could not work on the trampoline. He would not go near it. I could not cajole him. I could not throw him on it.
Yeah.
One of the elder boys said, come and I'll show you something. All right? That young bloke finished up as a champion trampoliner.
Oh my goodness. There you go. The power of peers and mentoring, huh?
They get designed to help that boy improve himself. The elder boy still had the number one position.
But he
wasn't competing against 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds.
Wow.
And then we had parents at home, several families, the families, they got to know each other, and several made decisions through that.
Oh, it's amazing. That's really good.
I was brilliant cooking. They couldn't.
There's a worship song that we sing at GBC that really describes my life. I've got to be careful I don't burst into song here.
Feel free to.
It's I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All of my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All of my life you've been faithful. All of my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All of my life you have been faithful. All of my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
That is awesome. That's one of my favourite songs too. And I like that. Yeah. I like to think that I live like that too.
Yeah.
And you've definitely, based on what you've told us tonight, you live that. You live that, yep, for sure.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much, guys, for coming on. You're inspiring. Just your life story and what you've shared has been incredible. Just hearing, like, those three stories you shared, Nola, and just your lives that you've led of just being disciples for Christ. In a nutshell, that's what I think you've been. You've just been living your lives for Christ since you were a Christian, and that's beautiful. So,
and many more to come.
Yeah, many more to come. That's right. So thanks, guys, and we'll see you around GBC.
Thank you too.
And you.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymer Baptist Church, please check out the Guymer Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.